Happy 4th of July. It's a great day. It's been great weather. It's good to see everybody. If you all would rise, we're going to stand and sing America the Beautiful.
Standing for prayer, Brother Roger Delisle, will you lead us, please, as we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. My, it's good to see you. And hopefully we'll have this place comfortable in here. The air conditioner has been going for over an hour already. It may need some new juice, I don't know. I don't know much about air conditioners, but even the sound of it makes it sound a little cooler, doesn't it? And then the fans will be stirring up some fresh air in here and make it a little more tolerable for us on this summer day. Amen? A summer day. Aren't you glad you don't live in Phoenix or Yuma, Tucson, someplace like that? Yeah. This sounds good compared. Anyway, it's good to see you today. We're glad you're here. You did a good job on that song. Appreciate David, his patriotism here and starting us off on this 4th of July weekend, actually. I ran across a necktie I was going to wear, but the colors didn't match my suit. I may have to wear it tonight. It's got stars and stripes all over it. It looks like a fireworks display. Very patriotic. Anyway, let's join together here and sing some more good songs. Brother David, come here.
I think we have our scripture reading.
Oh, that's right.
Yes,
we do.
We have our scripture.
Who's got the scripture reading today?
Romel.
There he is. All right, Brother Romel.
Good morning. This is from the book of Psalm, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing, which means falsehood. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also have also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteousness. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield. The book of Psalm chapter 5. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen.
Thank you.
Praise God. As I, 4th of July, my wife and I went to the base, and as we were watching the fireworks from there, it just came to my mind that this is still a great country. We still have people that love the Lord. We still have a country that tries to set a good example for others. It may not be the best. It may not be like it used to be, but it still is a great country. We need to continue to pray for our country. Our leadership changes. I mean, it doesn't change a lot, but our leadership does change. And hopefully with that, you know, things will change. And we just got to keep praying and asking the Lord. Amen. Number 398. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, oh Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Amen. Amen. That should be all of our hope. Would you all stand? We're going to sing number 609. We'll have our offering after this hymn. Number 609. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that above. Let music swell the breeze and ring from all the trees, sweet freedom song. Let mortal tongues awake, let all that breathe partake, let rocks their silence break, the sound prolong. praise God to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King. Amen.
Brother Gene, will you lead us in prayer, please? Today we're going to have communion in just a few minutes, but first of all, we've got something very, very special today. Rachel is going to come and play us the piano. And I'm waiting for her to bring her fiddle back to church too. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. Wonderful. All right, if we might have the ushers up here, we're going to have our communion this morning. Before we do, I want to read to you from out of the scriptures here. And this is reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, which says, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover." And then, skipping on down, it says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And Jesus sent Peter and John to find a place and prepare for the Passover, that he might observe it with his disciples. And so they went and found a place. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Heavenly Father, as we come to this holy and sacred hour, we pray that today the realization of this cup and bread will become so much more meaningful to us. We thank you that you loved us and gave yourself as a sacrifice for us, dying for our sins on the cross of Calvary. Bless us now as we partake of this, our communion, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, as we take this little recollection piece of bread today, it's not bread to us. It represents your body, which was broken and bruised on the cross of Calvary. And thank you for the love that caused you to give your life for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Precious Father, as we take this fruit of the vine today, we thank you that we can drink it, though you've said you will not drink it until you come again. It's wonderful that we can do this today in remembrance of you, but it's also in anticipation of that great day when you shall come and you shall lift up your cup again. Even as we lift this up with hearts that are filled with thanksgiving for your sacrifice and for your grace. Thank you again for shedding your blood that we might have the remission of our sins. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Brother Johnny, do you have a song that you could come and sing before I preach this morning?
Good morning, everyone. You know, I just want to share with you a short but sweet testimony this morning, and that is about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my King. And oh, he's my friend. And in his precious hands, he's going to keep me. Please.
He knows my every need. He leads me by the gentle water. My hungry soul, he will feed. Now as a little lamb, I'm helpless. My soul, I can't defend. I'm so glad that Jesus is my shepherd. For him, I will depend. For on him, my Savior's hand. No pressure, and if I am, it's driven to and down. Precious day, with never care. I may not understand, but I'm trusting the great I am. For it's good to feel my Savior safe. Now throughout my confusion, when I cannot find my way, so bewildered from the battle, don't even know what to pray. But I'm glad that somewhere in the shadows of my troubles and my fears, there's a Savior sent from heaven. Oh, I could see him through my tears. For I'm in my Savior's hand. So precious, nails I am. There's living, doing now. The present will never fail. Though I may not understand, I am trusting in the great I am. For it is good to be in my Savior land. Now listen to me this morning. Oh, I may not understand, but I'm trusting in the great I am. Oh, it's so good to feel my Savior's hand. Oh, it's true. Yes, it is, Master. I'm so glad this morning I got someone that loves me. Praise God.
Last Sunday in Sunday school, we ran across a verse of scripture in Matthew, chapter 18, verse 19. And you'll want to turn in your Bible and look at that, because Barbara had an appointment with the doctor at 1 o'clock last Monday. And Monday morning, I went down to their house, and we claimed a promise that God made in Matthew 18:19. And I'm going to let Brother Gene or Barbara, whichever one of you wants to give that testimony, to finish it out. That's what we agreed on. Try it and see if it works with you. Okay? Find somebody else that you can agree with and claim that promise. Put God to the test. your faith may be weak to start with. And the first time you'll say, well, I'm going to try this. If it works, okay. If it doesn't, okay. But whether it does or whether it doesn't, you keep on trying. You keep on trying. The text. Have we got a birthday today? Who? Really? They're not here. Nancy's here. Bob's not here. Where's Bob? All right. That's right. Well, I don't have one up here, so I don't know. But let's sing happy birthday to him anyway. All right? Let's do it. You're going to play for us. All right. That'll get us on key. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Who's got an anniversary? Really? Well, let's sing happy anniversary to him anyway. That's right. There you go. All right. Do it. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. All right. That's wonderful. Yesterday was an anniversary of sorts. Been one whole month already since Rita went to be with the Lord. Went out yesterday and visited with her out there. Boy, I'll tell you something, that Miramar National Cemetery is filling up. Boy, I'll tell you, every time I go out there, there's a dozen more new graves. But every time I look at it, I look out across there and I see all of those tombstones, grave markers. Of course, I'm going to be out there one of these days if Jesus don't hurry up and come. What a day that's going to be. Because there's going to be a lot of people rising from the dead. In that day, when those graves shall open and Christ shall call them forth into his glorious kingdom. But you know what? In order for a person to go to heaven when they die, to participate in that resurrection of the saints, to participate in the rapture when the trump of God shall sound, a person has to be saved. They have to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Otherwise, it's a hopeless foolish thing to even talk about it to them. I want to talk to you this morning about soul winning. First of all, my text is Proverbs 11:30, which says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. I don't know how many soul winners we have in this congregation today, and I would not embarrass you or cause you to boast by asking you to raise your hand. But I would like for you to answer that question before God and God alone. I'm sure that almost all of us here know someone who is lost. We know someone who is unsaved. They are unbelievers when it comes to Jesus Christ. And I hope that they can come to the realization of their precarious condition, because if they should die in their unbelief, according to the Word of God, their eternal, immortal souls would wind up in hell, that place of everlasting torment. And we certainly don't want that, do we? Salvation is free. It's a gift to be received, not something you could buy or earn or merit. It's a gift. It's God's gift to mankind. Now, these unsaved people that we know, probably good people. They wouldn't steal from you. They pay their debts. They're our friends. People we work with, people we associate with on a regular basis, but they're lost. They may be relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, even members of our own family, mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters, children. They come in all different sizes. Our job is to witness to them about Jesus Christ. Now, the reason for this message is that I believe Jesus Christ is coming soon. If I figured that it's going to be another 1,000 years, I would not be nearly as zealous as I want to be in presenting this message today. I look around and I see the signs of the times. I see the turmoil that's in the world today, the chaos. I see the economic problems that so many people are experiencing. I see this warring between the nations. I see the greed and the corruption that's among those in power. And I know in my heart that it's going to continue to get worse and worse as time goes by until Jesus comes. And then when Jesus comes, boom, it's all going to be over. It will end abruptly. Should it happen right now, you would hear the sound of a trumpet. The dead in Christ would be raised from their graves. All those of us who are living, who are saved, would be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we would be caught up together with the dead in Christ, and we'd all go up together to meet the Lord in the air. And no man knows the day nor the hour when that's going to take place. If it should happen today, and we went up, there would be people who would run outside to see what happened. And they would see us ascending up into the clouds of heaven. And they would probably feel like the apostles felt when they followed Jesus out to Mount Olivet on the day of his ascension. And as he was talking and teaching them there, he began to drift upward. And they stood there amazed, not knowing what to think, until a cloud received him out of their sight, and they saw him no more. And the people around here that are lost would see us as we're going up to meet the Lord in the air. And they are left behind. Our text says that the person who wins souls is wise. But how do you go about winning souls? First off, I want to tell you, don't be one of those that says, that's a preacher's job. It's your job, as much as it is mine. And our cooperation in this work of winning souls is rather simple and quite limited. I can't save anybody. I can tell them how to be saved. That's as far as I can go. I can witness. I can quote scripture. But I cannot actually save a soul. That is God's prerogative. That's His business. We can only share Christ through our testimony that we give. Boils down to this. You quote a verse of scripture to your lost friend, person you're trying to witness to. It's not hard to find a soul-winning verse. Just blurt it out and say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you need to say. That's as far as you can go. That's as far as you have to go. Now these words go into that person's mind and their heart through their hearing, through their ear gate. They've heard it. And we're saved by grace through faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You see, this is where God takes over. You use the Scripture. That's the sword of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit takes those words and He makes them real and personal to that individual. That person becomes concerned about the condition of their soul before God, and perhaps they will resolve to do something about it. But that's between them and God. There are lots of scriptures like that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever believeth in him is not condemned, but shall have everlasting life. And at some point in that person's heart and soul, faith is generated, and they decide to try it. And at some time they may cry out, Lord, save me. And when they do, he does. That's all it takes. You can do it anywhere, anytime. I thought about this. I buy most of my gas out here at Costco. And there's always a line. And you pull up and there's two pumps in front of you. So you stop and you're filling up your gas tank, and the other fellow up here is filling up his. Another one over on this side, he's filling his up. You don't know him from Adam. You've never seen him before. You don't know whether he's a local or whether he's from out of state or what. But he's putting gas in his car. And you say to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Chances are he's going to look at you like you're some kind of religious nut. He's going to shrug it off and kind of grin, a foolish grin, continue filling his car up, puts the lid back on, gets in his car, drives away. But what happens? You have sown a seed, and it went in through the ear gate to the heart. And there's no telling when he will think about it again. But he'll remember that. Now listen, it may be that that seed has fallen on hard ground, and the devil will come along and pluck it out before it has a chance to germinate and to grow and to develop into salvation. But it could be that it falls on fertile ground. And that will be like a thorn. And he'll think about it. He'll wake up at night thinking about it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And you never can tell. He might just get saved because you gave a testimony and a witness at a service station. You go to the grocery store. You're checking out your groceries. They got somebody down here putting them in the sack. You pay your bill. And you say to that person, God says you must be born again. Maybe they've never heard that. They don't know what born again is. But the word that you spoke is the word of God, and it has gone in through the ear gate to the heart. And God's word will not return unto him void. Remember that. It will accomplish that whereunto it is sent. And that person will begin to think about that. And if they don't understand it, they may ask someone about it. But you've done your part. Now let God do his. Let it alone and just see what happens. So many people look for something exciting to happen to them when they get saved. And in reality, it does. But maybe not as they expect. Chances are you're not going to hear the voice of God from a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. Chances are you're not going to be blinded by a bright light that shines down from heaven at noon and outshines the noonday sun. That's already happened to Paul. And chances are you'll never get to dip seven times in the Jordan River. So forget it. It's already been done. Just ask the Lord, what shall I do to be saved? And listen to his answer. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Can you remember that? Philip joined himself to the chariot of that Ethiopian man. He said, do you understand what you're reading? He said, I can't except some man show me. So opened his mouth and preached unto him, Jesus. And the man said, in effect, I want to be saved. Philip, I want to be saved. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart. And he testified. His response was this. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's all it took. So you don't have to get into an argument with a person that you're trying to witness to and win to Christ. Don't walk up to them with a chip on your shoulder and say, I'm a Baptist and you're not. I'm going to tell you how the cow eat the cabbage. You don't get into a religious argument with them about what they believe, contrasting what they believe with what you believe. Why? Because we're concerned about their soul, the eternal destiny of their immortal soul. We want them to be saved. So, talk to them about Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. And in particular, tell them how he died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, and that he was buried, and that he rose from the grave the third day for our justification. Oh, there's so much you can say about Jesus. But don't expect them to know everything in the Bible. They must be taught. And that comes after they're saved. You take it one step at a time. Salvation, then baptism, and then your church membership. We have so many lost people in the world today, and Jesus is still the only way. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And all you have to do is tell that to somebody that's lost. That's being a witness. It's up to them to walk through the door, which they will when the Holy Spirit takes the word that you have shared with them. And they claim that promise before Almighty God. They'll get saved. We want to see people get saved, don't we? Don't you know someone, some friend, someone you care about that's lost today? that you'd like to see saved. Remember these scriptures that we've given you today. Use them. Use them as a witness. That's all you can do. We are His witnesses. It's up to the Holy Spirit and God Himself to work in that person's heart to bring about conviction of sin, turn them to righteousness in Christ. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and one thing we ask, we would ask, Father, that you would give each and every one of us a burden, a spiritual burden for those who are lost, that you would create within our hearts a desire to see those lost people saved. We can't save them, Lord. Jesus is the only Savior, but we can point them to Jesus. Just like John did to his disciples, when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." There may be someone here today with a burden on their heart for a particular friend, neighbor, loved one. And during the invitation today, they may have an invitation to come and to pray for that one. And if you so impress their heart as the invitation is given, may they come today and seek an opportunity to witness to that one that they love that's lost, that they might be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 404.
Will you come today, please? Will you come? Maybe there's someone that you love. You want to pray for them today. This is a good place. This is a good time. Will you come? Sing another verse. That's a beautiful song there. Today. I deeply appreciate your being here and the response that you gave to the Word of God. Please remember to be a witness for Christ. Win somebody to Him. He that winneth souls is wise, our text said. Take that home with you. Think about it. And talk to people about their soul. As we're dismissed in prayer, remember the service is tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to be talking this evening about what happens to our sin. What happens to our sins? I think you'll enjoy that and get a blessing from it. So as we're dismissed now, Brother Sam Burton, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?